the Rapids podcast is presented by Advocare,
the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids.
Trash is picked up by Bobby Berwood.
He's back, and he's back with a bang.
Here are your hosts, Richard Fleming and Connor McGahee.
Greetings. We're back in an attempt to improve on podcast episode 229 by bringing you the next installment, episode 230. That's how it works. 229, 230, 231 will be next week. And with the Rapids heading to Toronto FC, an old friend takes time out from his preparations to chat health and happiness. Before that, as we roll out from our Gold Cup bed and return to MLS duties, let's catch up with midfielder Dylan Serna on the team's approach to the second half of the season.
We're coming out of the Gold Cup break. It's been 18 days, it will have been, when the Toronto game comes around. What needs to be done? Clearly more goals and more points, but in terms of a different approach, are you guys prepared for that?
I think so. I think that break was, you know, much needed for us. We, you know, weren't able to end the last game, you know, on a winning note, get 3 points. But, you know, we're not, you know, terribly far off from the playoff line. And I think if we get a couple wins, you know, under our belt, things will start rolling. And as long as we take care of business at home, I think we'll have a real shot.
And you've got a number of road games. And that's going to be key. And does that approach need to change without a point on the road as we stand?
Yeah, I think, you know, at this point in the season, we have nothing to lose. We have to go in, you know, on the road, coming away with 3 points. And that's got to be the mentality. We have to go in, you know, wanting to get 3 points and nothing less.
There's Dylan Serna with Richard Fleming. And you can catch the full interview with Serna in the latest Rapids 360 on Altitude TV.
On August the 2nd, the league's best players gather at Soldier Field, where they'll face Spanish super club Real Madrid in a cannot-miss historic event. Real were crowned champions of Europe in June for a 12th time. No other team comes close. 24 hours earlier, the best young stars in MLS take on defending Mexican U20 champions Chivas de Guadalajara at Toyota Park. For more information, go to MLSsoccer.com.
Two Rapids players will be involved in the All-Star festivities. After it was confirmed that rookie Courtney Ford would feature in the homegrown game, Tim Howard has been named to the starting 11 to face Real Madrid in Chicago. That's the All-Star game, August 2nd, but do keep across ColoradoRapids.com and the club's various social media platforms for all the latest news from inside Dick's Sporting Goods Park. Elsewhere, disappointment for the U18s at the Academy Championships last week. They lost agonizingly to eventual winners Texans SC Houston in their semifinal on penalties before a 2-1 defeat by Seattle Sounders FC in the third-place game on Sunday. Great season, though. Fantastic work for the U18s and U16s, for that matter. We'll be right back to the Rapids podcast with a special guest.
Colorado Rapids 2018 season tickets are on sale now. Don't miss out on the action as the Rapids take the field for 17 home matches at Dick's Sporting Goods Park next season.
And it's Marlon Hairston in the blink of an eye. They're back on level terms. This is some contest.
Go to ColoradoRapids.com to find out about the exclusive season ticket member benefits, including meet the team party, game day experiences, and stadium discounts. Go to ColoradoRapids.com.
Our next guest is an old favorite. He spent 6.5 years in Colorado from 2009 to 2015, during which he made 181 appearances and up for second on the club's all-time list. He was a part of the 2010 MLS Cup winning team, but more importantly, he is a dear friend of ours, albeit now playing for this Saturday's opponents.
Vasquez with this one in towards Mavinga at the back post. It's headed away there by Javon Watson. Cooper down the right now for TFC. Cooper's done well here to wriggle his way free. The cross is front post and then it's bundled in on the line. And Drew Moore, that's his first goal of the season. And TFC lead 10 minutes in.
Yes, Drew Moore joins us on the Rapids podcast. Before we talk soccer, let's talk fatherhood. You just told me one boy, of course, soon to become two. How's life treating you and Shelby there in the Great White North?
Oh, it's been great, guys. Thanks for having me on. I actually almost got a little misty-eyed there, Connor, as you you introduced me. We definitely miss Colorado. We miss Denver, and we miss the Colorado Rapids. But life's been good to us. Off the field, I couldn't have asked for more. We have a healthy 13-month-old Joey who's in daycare, and growing faster than I want them to. And yeah, boy number two on the way.
Wow.
And all Shelby and I talk about right now is what we're going to name them, because we have no idea.
Oh, no idea. Are there any contending ideas? Is there a top five at least?
There's a couple contending ideas, yeah. And I think the strongest contender right now is actually Andrew William Moore Jr. So
okay.
I don't know if that's going to end up winning out, but you know, Shelby knew what she wanted to name boy number one since she was about 4 years old.
Well, I'm sure your Twitter's going to blow up after this with people wanting to say, Drew, name your boy this and that. And whatever you do, don't name him Richard.
Well, that's,
Richard is the only one off
king.
The list.
It stands for king. I'm just, you know, Richard.
Does
is,
it?
It's yes.
Okay.
In my mind,
you can
yes,
tell yourself
does.
That as
it,
much as
it
you want.
It does.
King.
Yes. Yes.
Goodness gracious. But, I mean, let's talk about fatherhood for a second, Drew, because, I mean, Rich will tell you. I mean, it changes you as a person. How did it change you becoming a father?
Yeah, it's crazy, actually. And you know, I'm very blessed and fortunate to have an amazing father myself, who, you know, I owe the world to for being where I am today as a person, most of all, and having a little one myself. It puts everything into perspective, you know, whether it's sports, whether it's, you know, school, whether it's politics, whatever it is, nothing seems to matter as much as the time you get to spend with your kid. And Shelby and I have, again, like I said, been so fortunate to have a wonderful kid, Joey, who's going to be a big brother soon, which is crazy to think about already. But nothing, again, you live for them, and nothing else matters when it's 3 a.m. and you're trying to rock them back to sleep and sing as terrible as my voice is. It's certainly a special time in my life.
Does it make the good times even better that you're now sharing it with an addition to the family? And does it make the not so good times, in other words, the wins you can enjoy and the losses, kind of you walk home to your family and softens the blow a bit?
Of course, I think, you know, and really, I kind of felt that way when I married Shelby. She always thinks I'm the best player on the field, even if I've had the worst game I've ever played in my life. She'll tell me. So the first question is, where do you want to eat? And the second one is, I thought you were the best player on the field today. And certainly when now I get to look up into the stands and see her with our boy. It makes the losses a little bit easier to deal with and the victories a little more fun to enjoy.
So you became a father in 2016. 2017 started with, certainly early part of the year, the irregular heartbeat. How was that discovered and how are you feeling now?
Yeah, I feel great now. And it's kind of crazy. You know, teams have started wearing heart rate monitors and all of these chips and you know, modern technological advancements and stuff during training sessions. You know, I think most teams track a lot of stuff that players go through during training. And I had felt some irregular heartbeats and just kind of a different feeling in my heart for a couple weeks, almost maybe for a month. And I hadn't really said anything. I figured it'll go away. It kind of came and went. It didn't really affect how I would play. It just kind of was in the back of my mind, and it was something that I knew I should probably say something. And actually, one of our strength and conditioning guys here at Toronto FC came up to me and said, I've been looking over some of your heart rate monitor data, and it looks a little odd. And, you know, I said, well, as a matter of fact, I've been feeling a little bit differently. And so they pulled me out then and decided to dig a little deeper. And fortunately, they did, because obviously I had a little irregularity that needed to be corrected, and I'm happy we did that.
Well, Drew, I'll tell you what, it says a lot about who you are and what you meant to everybody, because the outpouring, social media and beyond, when that was discovered and found out, everyone said, "Wow, I hope Drew is."
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, around the league.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't just here. I mean, it was all over the place. I mean, that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm hopefully making you blush at the moment, but that says a lot about who you are. But it's got to make you feel even better when you see an outpouring like that. And sometimes it can be life critical, sometimes not. But regardless, I mean, the support that way, I mean, like I said, it speaks to the character and the type of person that you are.
Yeah, it was so special. It was amazing. The tweets, the texts, the phone calls from people that I hadn't talked to in a long time that reached out to me and showed signs of support. it really means a lot. And again, you know, my irregularity in my heart was something that the doctor immediately told me is not life-threatening. It is not something that you will drop and never get back up from. But it's something that as a professional athlete and somebody that plans on living an active lifestyle for years to come should probably fix. And so that's why I went through with it. And it was, you know, there's people that have much more severe heart problems than what I had. And so I was very fortunate in that way, but certainly the outpour of support meant so much to me.
Because that came just a matter of weeks after Marvell win, of course,
yeah.
a good friend, former mm-hmm. teammate, and he underwent nine hours of surgery, and he hopes to be back next year. As you say, that you are being monitored, you are being watched, but it must have still been a worrying early on for you.
Yeah, it still was worrying, and the fact that I went through what all the doctors said is a very routine procedure and something that, you know, they do every day, and that the likelihood of anything going wrong during the procedure was very, very, very slim. When you're on a table and they start sticking wires in you, into your heart, and controlling your heartbeat and doing all sorts of things that you're not used to on a daily basis, it certainly makes you say your blessings, you know. And I think when anybody thinks or hears that there's a heart issue, you immediately think worst case scenario. And certainly Marvell's somebody who I reached out to when he was going through his heart thing and really still is, and just hope for nothing but the best for him, because absolutely. I feel like I got lucky with mine and hope he can return to the field next season.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, we're glad that things are good for you at the moment. It's a busy week for you. Two games this week. Let's talk Toronto FC. How have you guys been able to kick on from what was obviously fantastic 2016?
Yeah, 2016 was a good year for us. It was it ended not the way we wanted it to.
Oh, man. Yeah, no kidding.
It was difficult, you know, because we it was such a magical run in the playoffs, and I thought we played extremely well in the final. We did everything, but score the goal that we desperately needed. And when it got to penalties at that point, it's anybody's game, you know, but we've been able to keep that core group of guys together and add some key pieces. You look at a Victor Vasquez who has come in and contributed from day one. He's been fantastic. We have some young guys that have stepped up, Raheem Edwards, Marky Delgado, and it's just a deep team, and it's a group of guys that are led by a captain, Michael Bradley, who does not let anybody take a day off, and it's a special group of guys.
What about your role? Because I think Greg Vanney, does he employ almost like a 3-5-2 kind of formation, mm-hmm. and you're in the center of that? Is it almost like an old fashioned sweeper system, or are you there operating as a lone central defender? And how have you had to adjust to that?
It's funny, yeah. It is a 3-5-2, and the three at the back are meant to be somewhat flat. But a lot of times I do find myself in almost kind of the old school sweeper role where, you know, the two guys to the left and right of me can lock down on other teams' forwards, and I can kind of play the covering role. But, you know, a lot of times teams are playing just one striker with one forward underneath, and then you know, I kind of have to lock down on the striker. And so it's something that, I think for myself personally, I can use my communication extremely well, my positioning, and just keep guys organized around us in the back, because teams are going to look to counter against our 3-5-2, and I think that's how teams believe they can beat us. And so a lot of communication, a lot of positioning and organizing, you know, is something that I feel like I do well, and it's worked for us.
It's funny because every time I watch Toronto FC, either you're playing a deep sweeper or you're up on a set piece in the back of the net. It's so funny. All of a sudden, here comes Drew Moore out of nowhere flying into the old onion bag, as Tommy Smith would say. But you're not afraid to get up there on those set pieces, corner kicks, are you?
No, and listen, it's something I've said over the course of my career. Anytime defenders can chip in with goals, it's a huge boost for yeah. the entire squad. It's a huge boost for the forwards. You see forwards who work extremely hard defensively to get into good defensive positions, and we have to go repay that work sometimes, yep. and let them know that if they're not scoring, we can sometimes chip in.
Well, we're talking on Tuesday before your game in New York City and the chance to go top of the Eastern Conference. You're missing lots of players due to the Gold Cup. I think a couple teams are. How has that tested the depth of Toronto FC?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, actually, the number of players we're missing right now due to national team call-ups. I think there's three for the U.S. There's two now for Canada. Raheem Edwards returned to us after the group stages of the Gold Cup. And then Armando Cooper's gone. I think that's all. And we're still missing Stephen Betashor and Nick Haglund through injuries.
Yep.
You know, I think Greg and the coaching staff has done a great job of getting everybody on the same page. Everybody buys into the system we play. And, you know, whether we win or not, we're confident and feel like we can. And that's the most powerful thing I think you can have, is the belief that you can go in to any place in MLS and get a victory no matter who you're missing.
Well, you could be missing a few players this weekend. You've got a new signing in Niklas Hasler. We'll get your thoughts on him shortly. But let's first hear from the Liechtenstein international, who, though it suggests he's a right wing-back, he says he'll offer options for Toronto.
I'm a very versatile player. Like in the national team, I play a striker sometimes. Then I play number 8 there. In my former club, I played also right defender, so very versatile player. Very physical player also, and... Yeah, I think you will get to know me when I play.
You mentioned that you didn't know a lot about MLS, but what attracted you to Toronto FC specifically?
I think the whole MLS is booming. Mm-hmm. I like this club a lot. It's a nice city. All the staff here is all nice persons. I saw some games, and the crowd, the fans, amazing. It's like, as I mentioned last days, in the BMO Stadium, mm-hmm. almost all my country fits in, so it will be a nice experience.
So I did want to ask you about that. You're coming from one of the smaller countries in the world, 35,000 people?
Yeah, 35, 36.
To a country of 37 million. Have you wrapped your head around that yet, moving from a small country to a very, very big country?
I have to adapt, like, also the distance from the downtown to the stadium, mm-hmm. To the training ground. It's everything different. In my country, I wake up, I go from my home at 9 o'clock, and I'll be 9:05 at the stadium. So that will be quite different.
What are your early impressions of the facilities here in Toronto? How much does it differ from what you're used to?
Everything is much bigger. The locker room, the training grounds, everything is much bigger, and I think also a little bit professional.
What's the country of Liechtenstein like? How would you describe it?
Big, a lot of nature you have there. It's really calm, mountains. Yeah, maybe you come to Liechtenstein to visit. In 20 minutes, you have seen everything.
Really?
Yeah. from south to north, it's 20 minutes. Wow. So you can run the whole country in like 1 hour.
So Niklas Hasler there talking to the media at the end of last week. So Drew, give us a sense of how this guy's settled in the last week or so.
Yeah, Niklas has done well. He's a player that can play in several different positions. I think he's more of an attacking player, you know, a right-sided player, which I'm sure we're looking at him as that wing-back position on the right with Betashor being out. He brings some experience. You know, he plays for the Liechtenstein national team. And I think he's done very well there, and he seems very cool, very calm, very collected. You know, the pace of MLS, at least in the week or so he's been training with us, doesn't seem to bother him too much. So, you know, he hasn't been here long, but I see a lot of positive things from him.
Well, you might be without Jozy Altidore on Saturday. 8 goals, but there's always Sebastian Giovinco. Not sure if you've heard of him. 9 goals, 4 assists prior to Wednesday night. How is that to be around a player that you know is special? And how does it show itself even when you guys train?
It's pretty special. He's probably one of the best players I've ever played with, if not the best. He just scores and assists for fun, it seems like. And to have a player like that, to be around a player like that day in and day out, it was funny when we when we were in Dallas a couple weeks ago, my dad and my little brother came out to visit me at the hotel, and we were walking to the lobby, and Sebastian Giovinco was walking by us the other way, and I didn't think much of it. I kind of waved to him, and I look over at my dad, and he's giving me the introduce him to me eyes. And, you know, sometimes when you play with somebody like Giovinco on a daily basis, you forget just how popular he is because of what he's done and what he's capable of, and to see him do it every day in training, and to be able to call him a teammate is pretty cool.
Well, Drew Moore, thank you. You're missed here in Colorado. Wishing Toronto all the best, Saturday aside. I hope you understand. Of course, we wish you continued good health, and we wish the safe arrival of many more, number two, and send our love to Shelby and Joey, would you? And hopefully we'll catch up again very soon. I'll actually see you on Saturday. They're in Toronto, so I look forward to that. So
sounds good, guys. I appreciate it. Shelby and I very much, like I said, still miss you guys and the entire state, and certainly the organization. We'll always call Colorado home, and we'll look forward to seeing y'all on Saturday as well.
Well, Drew Moore, from the bottom of our hearts, thank you.
The Colorado Rapids take on Vancouver Whitecaps FC on August 5th.
What a wonderful goal from Dominic Bacci, and he stinks like a bee.
Head to the stadium early and enjoy a live pregame concert by local Denver band The Coteries, plus pregame drink specials at 1876, courtesy of the Bud Burgundy Concert Series.
Would you believe it?
Get your tickets today for a night of soccer and live music. Go to ColoradoRapids.com.
Welcome back to the Rapids podcast. It was great catching up with Drew Moore. The Rapids head to Toronto this Saturday. The match is live on Altitude TV, coverage from 4:30 p.m. Mountain Time, and as always, live on Altitude Sports Radio AM 950 from 5 p.m. from BMO Field in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. That interview was recorded on Tuesday. We're recording the podcast also on Tuesday, as some of us traveled to Toronto on Thursday for the game on Saturday. Got it? So what I'm trying to say is that the bulk of this was recorded before the Gold Cup quarterfinals, so we will assume that USA went through and that the Rapids will be without Tim Howard, and Toronto will be minus Michael Bradley, Jozy Altidore, and Justin Morrow. Panama faced Costa Rica in the last date, also on Wednesday. Panama includes Armando Cooper in their squad. Canada, meanwhile, play on Thursday. Victory for them could mean Tyson Ricketts and Jonathan Osorio also miss out for Toronto. So if all goes to plan for the Rapids, they will be facing a much weakened Toronto side. But it's a side that is yet to lose at home. 7-0-2, Richard Fleming.
Yeah, and the history favors Toronto, certainly at BMO Field. I mean, you know, you look back and the biggest ever win in the Rapids history was there in 2010 MLS Cup. But 1-7-0 the Rapids are in Toronto. That only win coming in 2014, I believe it was Edson Buddle with a goal.
It does sound familiar.
A pullback from Dylan Powers, goal from Buddle, a 1-0 win, the only clean sheet they've ever kept on the road in Toronto. And you know, we look at the Rapids' form so far on the road this season. We don't need constant reminding, but it's 0-7-0.
We'll remind you anyhow, seven losses.
Yeah, and just two goals scored. Kevin Doyle with that consolation penalty and the goal, which we thought was going to finally get the Rapids at least a point. Caleb Calvert's at Philly, and that one turned around, and the Rapids lost 2-1. So, you know, healthy bodies coming back at that break. Yes, Toronto will have played beforehand, and that can go one of two ways. With the game on Wednesday night against NYC at Yankee Stadium, that'll give them the sharpness. Obviously, they'll have that going into Saturday's home game, but maybe a little bit taken out of the leg. So if all goes to plan and the Rapids are up against a side in Toronto that could potentially be missing six players, maybe a minimum of three in the US stars, this is a big opportunity. Yes, Toronto haven't lost at home this season, but the Rapids are going in there with a clear head, with healthy bodies, and potentially against the Toronto side without some very key players.
And now it's time for
more important dates to remember.
It's the Cardell Homes Community Spotlight, where we tell you of events and initiatives involving the club. Zach McMath, Eric Miller, and Dylan Powers last week visited Jason Horton, an athlete within the Special Olympics Colorado Unified team, in the hospital to present him with his honorary ESPY award. Jason has been battling cancer. There's a video on the club's website. We urge you to watch that and keep Jason in your thoughts and prayers. A brave young man has touched so many lives with his courage, and someone who means so much to the club and the players. The annual Colorado Rapids Charity Golf Classic will be held Monday, August 7th at the beautiful Ridge at Castle Pines North. Enjoy an exciting day of golf with the Rapids players, coaches, alumni, and yes, sad for you, even broadcasters. Proceeds benefit Kroenke Sports Charities community programs for children and families in Colorado. For more information, call 303-405-1166. Next, ladies and gentlemen, we enjoy the return of Dylan Gannon. What do you got for me?
We want to talk about transfer fees specifically because, you know, when I'm looking through social media, there's a lot of yelling at the Rapids account saying, why aren't you spending more money here?
Yeah.
Why aren't you signing this guy? Well, personally, I don't control transfer fees.
It doesn't go through you?
Yeah, it doesn't, surprisingly. Oh, so just a heads up out there. But a big part with the transfer fee part is people want to know, why isn't MLS competing on the same level as the Premier League? If you want to be, you know, known as one of the best leagues in the world, shouldn't you be spending that much money? Well, the big thing is MLS just isn't at that level right now. And a lot of that has to do with the big television broadcast deals that England has over there. I follow this guy on Twitter. It's at Fleming Sport, Richard Fleming.
That sounds like the worst follow ever.
I mean, it's up there. But yeah, he actually did provide some interesting information out here the other day.
Okay.
So he was looking at transfer fees from 20 years ago before the big EPL broadcast deals went out there. So in Spain, Ronaldo, not Cristiano, but the OG Ronaldo,
as I like
to call him, had a transfer fee of £12.8 million.
Right.
£12.8 million. I mean, that's still a lot of money. But if you're looking now, I mean,
that's probably the number one player in the world at that point, I would
correct.
Think. Yeah.
I mean, you would have to say so.
Yeah.
Zidane, known as one of the world's best, went for, let's check, $3.2 million. I mean, could you imagine that now?
No.
That's just absolutely unbelievable. Now, in the top three countries that spent the most money in that time, you have Spain, Italy, and England. Spain spent the most money at £128 million.
For the whole league?
Whole league. Whole country.
Oh, whole country.
Over there.
Wow.
Reports are coming out that Neymar is going to go to PSG with a transfer fee of £222 million.
That is the offer from PSG.
Correct. Almost twice as much as what Spain had in all of 1996, which is honestly just mind-blowing to me.
Yeah.
And it has to do with those TV broadcast rights. And people are saying, well, where is MLS going to catch up? Well, right now, we don't have the broadcast deal for that. You just look at where MLS has grown from when it started in 1996, to where we are today. So I was looking up some numbers. 1996, the maximum salary, $192,000. Maximum salary.
Maximum salary.
You want to tell David Beckham when he's coming over here the first time? Cool, yeah, come play in MLS. Oh, yeah, you're making $192K. That's it.
Thanks, but no thanks, mate.
Hard pass on that. 1996, you had 18 players, and you're allowed to have 4 development players as well on that.
Okay.
Rules there, you had to be under 25 years old. Minimum salary, $12,900.
Wow. And you can also work as a bank teller in your spare time.
And that's the thing. A lot of these people, when they first came to the league, not just 20 years ago, but 10 years ago, were working second jobs. I remember talking to some of the other guys. Bobby Burling's the first that came to mind. He had to do a lot of coaching on the side when he first came to the league, just because that minimum salary was so low. One other stat I was looking through, average sat in 2004. This is right when Tim Howard transferred over to Man U. Average salary, $80,862. Now it's over $316,000. Highest salary in 2004, $418,511. And now you have guys making over $7-8 million. And I mean, and then there's rumors, you know, you're going to have Zlatan come over here, maybe Chicharito, though that looks like he's going to West Ham.
West Ham.
I mean, they're asking for
the
over $10 million.
Fighting Joe Hart's of West Ham.
So it's just, you have to remember, like, yes, MLS isn't on the Premier League level, nothing on the European level, but it may get there over time. It's going to be a slow learning process. It has to do with those broadcast deals. And, I mean, just look across America as a whole with the NBA. NBA just had these new broadcast deals, and now you have guys out there. James Harden came to mind. Mm-hmm. 4-year, $228 million.
And you would think that the NFL, of all the teams in – or all the leagues, in America, would have the highest paid players. But no, your biggest contracts are going to the NBA and Major League Baseball.
Exactly. So, I mean, which is going to be interesting with the NFL, what happens with them moving forward, especially with these guys, you know, all the concussion issues. But for – the soccer purists out there that want to see MLS thrive, we all want to see MLS take that next step. But it will take time. But what MLS is doing, it's having a constant, steady growth.
Right.
Where the Premier League just had this massive spike, and who knows how sustainable that is. Eventually, clubs are going to start going under, and you see that with some teams, you know, that aren't able to pay their fees in the Bundesliga and have to keep dropping division after division because of this. So you have to think, would you rather have a competitive field week after week and maybe not have the best talent right away, or do you want to be spending lots of money and risk throwing your business, you know, out of the table and not have it exist?
Risk the very existence of your club.
Exactly. So,
indeed.
Choice is yours.
Parting shot. This part of the Rapids podcast brought to you by Lunasul Tequila, made using only the best ingredients and classic techniques. Lunasul Tequila, one sip and you know. Richard Fleming, what do you know?
Well, this is going to be picking up a little bit from what Dylan was touching upon. It's kind of the compare and contrast between two leagues, two continents. And this is heading back to last weekend. LA Galaxy losing 5-2 to Manchester United. And the, quote, we're better than you sniping kind of went into overdrive, particularly on social media. This time it was the anti-MLS brigade, the Euro snobs, the Premier League so-called experts, and the Manchester United fans. But I've also seen this pointless barbs coming from this side of the pond as well, as those that have smacked down the England team, and probably rightly so. Some of them that have kind of rubbish the Premier League for failings in European competition, and also for the overall, and we, as I say, we touched upon it there, the overall excesses of the domestic game in England. Some fair, some unfair, but I think on both sides, wholly unnecessary. I began watching soccer, football, on a local park near Timmy. Muddy fields, oversized guys in driving rain. I've covered World Cup games.
Too many pies had they had.
a lot of pies, and it was normally pre-game and half-time as well. But I've also seen the other side. I've seen World Cup matches on manicured pitches with some of the finest and fittest athletes the game has ever produced. And I've seen pretty much every level of the game in between. Envy on one side, maybe a chip on the shoulder, and then you've got the soccer snobs, the ill-informed, and the not-so-worldly wise on the other. People play computer versions of this game and enjoy it. Pick up soccer in a back alley can be fantastic. Youth soccer or kids soccer, boys, girls, mums and dads. It's a simple game to play. And of course, there's going to be varying degrees of ability across the globe. But all those consumed with how their product is perceived or where it ranks compared to the rest of the world, leave that to the marketing men, those whose job it is to grow the brand, one of those buzz phrases we've heard in recent times. For the rest of us, enjoy the sport and the connection you have with your team in your league. It's intriguing for me because if quality was the be-all and end-all, then why do so many fans pour onto college campuses to watch amateurs, students play football, basketball, hockey, lacrosse, baseball, in some cases more than you get at the pro level? Reason? Because they have an affinity which is not always based on quality. And that's sport across the board. Many leap on the bandwagon of the popular clubs, the successful clubs, but most genuine fans are snared by the handing down through generations from that sense of belonging, from a special moment or experience, and then you're hooked. The decision has been made. Is MLS as good as the Premier League? No. Is the Premier League the best league in the world? No. Are there good and bad aspects in both of those? Yes, absolutely. And if you look close enough, you'll find them. Beauty, to me, is in the eye of the beholder. And there is joy in watching your son blindly bundling the ball into an empty net, having stumbled most of the way in a roving pack of six-year-olds, as there is in watching Lionel Messi with his wizardry teasing some of the best defenders in the world. So enough of this. Did you hear what they said about our league? This kind of everybody looking over their shoulder and looking around to see what others think of their product. I love the sport. I'm absolutely passionate about soccer. And the wonderful thing is, it's a big enough game. There's something for everyone.
And so we head for the hills. Run to the hills. Is that Iron Maiden? Another podcast has come and gone. We thank you for your support, and we look forward to bringing you more in the next edition when we return from the Great White North. Till then, catch the Rapids in Toronto, Saturday on TV, radio, and online. Here's hoping for the first road points of 2017, and let's be greedy. Go for all three. For Richard Fleming and Dylan Gannon, I'm Connor McGehee. Bye-bye.
The Rapids podcast is presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids.